Again, please, to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and while you're turning to that chapter, I would also like, on behalf of the congregation, to thank Linda Douglas for all her help with the organ playing, not only on a Sunday morning, but organising other ladies for Sunday nights, and any time there's special meetings in the church, Linda is always making sure that everything is organised. A sincere word of thanks to Linda for her help in that matter. I want to draw your attention this morning for a wee while to verses 10 and 11. It says there in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." Just have a wee word of prayer together now as we turn to this passage, please. Father in heaven, as we come before thee again and come to thy word, we do thank thee, Lord, afresh for this time of the year that so many in particular are reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, of his condescension, Lord, of his taking upon him the body of a man. And Lord, we do thank thee for all that we read concerning his incarnation. We thank thee, Lord, today that while he is truly God, he's truly man. Father, we thank thee for all that his name means to the Church of Christ. Thank thee, Lord, for the name of God, for the righteous runneth into it and is safe. We do pray today as we look now at this passage for a while that the Lord would draw near. Lord, we pray that our familiarity with this time of the year and, Lord, indeed with that which is spoken about would not take away from our benefiting from the word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were living in some part of the world today, you wouldn't be able to celebrate Christmas. I read not very long ago there about somewhere, and it was a place that was very Muslim, and they had put a ban on any kind of celebration of Christmas. Of course, you don't need to go that far to find those who are absolutely and totally opposed to Christmas. Even here in Northern Ireland, we do have people who believe that the celebrating of this time of the year is not really in keeping with Scripture. Now, we never say that the Lord Jesus was born on the 25th of December. In fact, we believe he wasn't. But it is the time of the year when many come together to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I can quote C.H. Spurgeon, the man who Free Presbyterian preachers love to quote, others love to quote him as well. He said, when he was a minister in New Park Street Chapel, he said, "I wish this was concerning Christmas. I wish there were 10 or a dozen Christmas days in a year." So if he wished for that, I think it's good for us to have one. And it's good to have one Sunday when we have then the Christmas theme. Of course, when we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, we certainly, those of us who are saved, we think of his coming to dwell amongst us. So we read over there in John 1 about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. The flesh, of course, speaking of the humanity of his coming, and the Word being deity himself. Jesse Ryle, an English preacher, once said this concerning the Lord Jesus Christ: "This constant, undivided union of two perfect natures in Christ's person is exactly that which gives infinite value to his mediation and qualifies him to be the very mediator that sinners need." Those words, of course, remind us of our message not only at Christmas time, but right throughout the year, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came, as we read there in 1 Timothy, to save his people from their sins. And yet in the passage that we read this morning, I think that it's right to say, and you will appreciate this, that the vast majority of people on earth in any area at that time, as far as they were concerned, this time that we read about, it went unnoticed. And certainly, it went without honour. But God, of course, is infinite in his wisdom, He is all wise, and God, in His great wisdom, allowed a few to be involved in some of the events that took place when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now, you know about those that are called the wise men who travelled many, many miles following the star to where He was. And there was the shepherds tending the sheep. We read about them there just a few moments ago. Some believe that the reason why these shepherds were involved in, at this time, was that the sheep that they tended were eventually to be offered as sacrifices in the temple. And now one who was coming, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a fulfillment of all the types in the Old Testament. He was a fulfillment of all the shadows and all of the symbols. And of course they had been offering for years in the temple. And now the one was coming who indeed was the Lamb of God. Many believe that that is why the Lord allowed these shepherds to be involved. But you notice something there in these verses about these shepherds. It says concerning them that they were afraid. Look what it says at the end of verse 9. It says, and they were sore afraid. For them it was a very traumatic time. You can imagine these men perhaps hiding, maybe speaking in whispers the one to another. And as they're there almost beside themselves, they have those words in verse 10 come to them, fear not. And what a blessing it is for anyone when you have a word that comes indeed from the Lord Himself, and the words are, fear not. I think I remember saying to the congregation not all that long ago that over 80 times in the Bible, the Christian is told to fear not. You remember what the Lord Jesus said to His people? He said, fear not, little flock. He knew they would fear. We spoke of from that text on another occasion, and we went into various reasons why people do fear, why Christians do fear. But you see, in that fear not, you have the real and true message of this particular season of the year. Now I know, and I've told this to my own boys, that there will be many boys and girls, and they will have very unhappy homes over Christmas. There won't be anything special about it. There will be drunkenness. There will be fighting. There will be great unhappiness. And we are very thankful today that when we look at this passage, we have the real and true message of Christmas for all who will listen. And the message is a message to fear not. You see, the message, the voice went on to speak in verse 10 of a remedy for man's sin. It says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, if you think of those words and the words in the following verse, just for a moment or two with me, I would like to draw your attention, first of all, to what we have called unusual fear. Unusual fear. Of course, this is a very familiar part of God's Word. But these men were afraid, and where it says there that they were afraid, it really means that they were absolutely beside themselves. There are times when you've had fear of something, and of course for most of us there have been other times when we have been really, really afraid. These men's work was dangerous. They were the gate into the sheepfold. You're all aware of that. There was no door in the sheepfold. The shepherd himself lay across the fold, and therefore there were many dangers. But why? Why were they so afraid? Why did fear take such a grip on these men at this time? Well, we could look at this and very quickly come to the answer as we see it. And we could say, well, they didn't really understand what was happening. And people are afraid when they don't know what is happening. That may have been partly true, but we must look a little bit deeper down than that and come really to the reality of the situation. I believe that these men were terror-stricken. They were terror-stricken. And the terror which had almost, well, it had almost paralyzed them. The fear came because of the presence of the Lord. Because of the presence of the Lord, it made them feel not only awkward, but it made them feel beside themselves. Now, the Bible says concerning natural man that there is no fear of God before His eyes. When man has his pleasures all around him, And if you go out at this season of the year, this next week for instance, you will find men in dens of iniquity. And they will be laughing, and they will seem to have cheery faces, and it will seem to them that all is well before them because they're enjoying the pleasures of this world. They may be in health, and because they have these things and they feel that they need nothing else, there is no fear in the fact that they give seldom thought to God. They would not even be thinking perhaps about the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. But as you read through your Bible, whether you're saved or not, you will be assured that when God draws near and His presence becomes evident to a people, then there are very few men and women who are not greatly alarmed. There would be precious few who would not be very afraid. I remember speaking to a young fellow one time, and he told me, he didn't seem to have any fear of God, but he told me the night that he got saved, he said the fear that he had when the Lord drew near, he could hardly explain it. Because he knew that God was dealing with his heart. He knew that the Lord was there where he was, and he greatly feared. And perhaps that is part of the reason why some men and women do not wish to come and sit under the Word of God and under the preaching of the Gospel, because they fear being under the preaching of Christ. They're confronted with their sin. Sin brings, it brings misery, it brings torment. Sometimes it brings people to the end of themselves. They're confronted with Christ and they fear greatly. Now, many people at this time of the year still have no fear of God. But I wonder concerning you this morning, whether you're here or whether you're listening on sermon audio, I wonder, have you any fear of God? I wonder, was the fear that these people had, could that fear be equated with your fear when you think of your guilt before God? Because the Bible has very much to say about man's fear when he sees his guilt. Over there, and I turn to these passages for you quickly to see if you're turning to them. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24 it says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." The fear that I'm speaking of now is nothing in comparison to the fear that we've read about in this passage. Dear unconverted person this morning, you may feel, well, I fear God in some degree because I feel His presence in the meetings. When the Word is preached, I feel that the Lord is there and sometimes speaking to me. What an awful fear. What an awful fear would be yours if the Lord were to pass you by. Look what it says concerning these people here. "When your fear cometh as desolation," then it says in the next verse, "then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer." You've held on to your sin for another year almost. You've rejected Christ for almost another 12 months. I wonder this morning, as you consider Him, do you not fear? Do you not fear the greater fear of being passed by or cut off in your unbelief? Does that fear that we've mentioned as guilty fear not tell you this morning that you need to flee to Christ and be washed in His blood? Over there in the book of Daniel, again I turned it for you, it's the book of Daniel chapter 5. We have a man here who's enjoying his sinful pleasure as he sees it. He has no thought of God. He's unconcerned about most people as well. He's a law unto himself, we would say. And his name is Belshazzar. In fact, he's mocking the Lord. But whenever the Lord appeared to this man, whenever the Lord's the fingers of a man's hand wrote on the wall, wrote on the plaster of the wall, there's what it says in verse 6 concerning young Belshazzar. It says, then the king's countenance was changed, and its thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Here is another man who is terror stricken. Another man at the end of himself. Why is he at the end of himself? He's got his cronies all around him. He's a man who has plenty of wealth. He has an army of his own. He has the allegiance of quite a number of people. The reason, brethren and sisters, that he is fearing is this. He's got unusual fear because the Lord is there. He's unusually terror-stricken because he knows that the Lord is in his presence. Now I wonder this morning, as you meet with us here, is it nothing to you when you consider Christ, all you that pass by? When you consider the Lord Jesus Christ coming to live a sinless life and to die an atoning death for sinners. When you sense the presence of God with us this morning and you realize that with him one day you will have to do. Are you not like Belshazzar? Are you not disturbed? Are you not troubled concerning your sin? We see that we live in a day when people laugh at sin. And people mock at people who try to live holy lives. I'm sure today as the word is preached out in Lisburn Street and tracts, gospel literature is given out, there will be many who receive the tracts, but there will be many who will not. Why will they not? Because people have no fear of God. And if you're not converted today and you feel unusual fear, you're troubled, you fear the Lord passing you by, then you ought to thank God now for that. But there are many who, suffering from guilty fear, are like what we read of in Genesis chapter 3, over there in verse 8, having come to a realization that all is not well. Do you remember Adam? In verse chapter 3 in Genesis, in verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Now the Lord is all knowing. He knew exactly where Adam was. But that was the call of love. The call of love. Where art thou? Adam had hidden himself. He'd hidden himself. Look what it says. He'd hidden himself amongst the trees of the garden. How futile. How futile his efforts were. And dear unsaved person this morning, it would be futile for you to seek to hide from a holy God. Maybe there is fear in your heart regarding your sin. Well, it will benefit you nothing to try to hide from God, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place. We say with one of old, thou Lord, seest me. And remember this, he sees you today. He sees your heart as it is. And if you're not converted, he sees you still in bondage to your sin. There are very many people today, and they will listen to messages concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and concerning his birth and his coming into the world to be the Savior of men, and they will still harden their hearts. Let me say something to you this morning, dear person. Don't let you be one of them. Don't you be one of them. There was unusual fear, and while we would wish, as we did earlier on, everyone a very happy Christmas time, we trust that if you're not converted, we've preached to you for another year, we trust that unusual fear will be your portion this morning. But not only was there unusual fear here, if you look at verse 10 that we read together, you see that there was spoken of a gracious remedy. It says there, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You see, part of man's fear lies in the very last thing that man can conceive about Christianity. He does not conceive Christianity to be a joyous thing. You ask the regular man in the street, and he will not. And maybe this is our fault as Christians in some degree, because we don't seem to be very joyful sometimes. But ask the regular man or woman in the street, and they will not. They will not see Christianity as a joyous thing. Some will see it as a straitjacket life. Others will see it as completely a life of must-dos and don'ts. Now, the words which were spoken to these people, to these shepherds, they did not minimize man's condition. There's nothing of that. There's no glossing over the danger that man is exposed to in any way. But the fear not put the spotlight, as it were, on God's all-sufficient remedy for sin. Verse 10 assures us that it is for all who will come. For it says there at the end of verse 10, which shall be to all people. Now that is not something that we would take as the ecumenist or the liberal would and say, well, there you are, everybody's going to be in heaven. It means all kinds of people. People from all the various parts of the world. The message can be proclaimed to those who will come and listen. Didn't the Lord Jesus say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Really means to everyone capable of receiving it. And that's what the church seeks to do. So here's a message for all. It is a message which brings to your attention a gracious remedy for your sin. It's an all-embracing invitation. For it says there at the beginning of verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Dear unsaved person, here is a message for you. Now, whenever the wise men came to the Lord Jesus, I'm sure you're familiar with the details of that. They brought gold and some frankincense, and they also brought myrrh. Now, why did they bring myrrh to the Lord Jesus Christ? Myrrh was a spice that was associated very often with burials. You see, the moment this child, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world, that he took upon him human flesh, death was before him. Look what it says at the end of verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You see, the time would come when he would go the way of the cross. When he would make his way to Calvary to give his life a ransom for all who would come to him. And if you've been here throughout the year, if you've listened in throughout the year, here is a message that we sought to bring to your attention throughout this year. That is, that the Lord Jesus, even though it's many, many years since the happenings in the passage we read about this morning, the Lord Jesus still says to the unconverted person this morning, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I tell you something this morning. If you're under conviction because of your sin, if guilt is your portion, if you feel beside yourself, then the rest that you find in him is the rest that you need. Because you will not find it. You will not find it anywhere else. Lord said on one occasion, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I'm not going to repeat myself by saying everything that goes on at this time of the year, but there will be people out there feeling that they're really enjoying life. They're the walking dead, as someone once referred to the unsaved. Real life is found in Christ alone. I was reading a verse over there in Isaiah chapter 61. I'll read it for you, verse 10. Here's a great verse, and it explains well the one who has partaken of this great remedy and has benefited from it. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. The Christian standing is good today because he's came to the remedy, to the Lord Jesus Christ. These men, I've no doubt in the field, did not expect God's presence to be so manifest that night, nor did they expect the details of the remedy for sin to be given. You cannot say that this morning because you've heard before. You've heard before of your need of Jesus Christ. I want to draw your attention for just a moment to a prophecy long years before the Lord was ever born. over there in Isaiah chapter 9. You might turn to it. We're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9. It says there in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." That is Christ's humanity being born. "And unto us a son is given." That is different. It says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." It says there, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Every saved person in this meeting knows him as that. And we have proved him to be all that the prophet said about him long ago. But you will see there that it also says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." I wonder this morning, does this peace not appeal to you? You see, one of man's greatest problems today, and it has been again throughout another year, one of man's greatest problems is self-will. And self-will, dear unsaved person, is the thief of peace. Another one of man's difficulty is shunning repentance. Shunning repentance is the thief of peace also. Setting aside the message that you hear is the thief of peace also. And it is affirmed in this passage in Isaiah chapter 9 that those who have the Savior, who those who have come to this remedy, they shall have this peace. They shall have the serenity of heart that God alone can give. They shall have not only peace from God, but peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how it has been in your personal circumstances during this past year with your friends and your family and so on. Maybe you have fallen out with people, and maybe they've fallen out with you, I don't know. But I tell you this, whoever you fight with, unsaved person, do not war with the Lord. Don't fight with the Lord. People shake their fist in the face of God. Maybe not visibly, but in their heart, they say, and many have said for nearly another year, "We will not have this man to rule over us." Tell me this, does this remedy mean anything to you? Does this gracious remedy that we see provided here, does it mean anything to you? Now, I want to say something finally to you. What you do with this remedy, even today, even on the 20th of December 2009, may decide and determine where you spend eternity. You see, "Fear not" is here that you and I might personally receive the person that is spoken of into our lives. That is the message of the Christmas season. Time of giving, of gifts and receiving them from your family. But it's also a time when we are reminded of what the Lord gave to us. The Apostle Paul was a man whose heart was always full of thanks for what the Lord had done for him. The Lord preserved him. The Lord had guided him. The Lord blessed his ministry in many respects. Now we know that many places he went and nobody wanted to listen. But the Lord helped him to be faithful. But he said, these are his words, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." His unspeakable gift. We went down the other night, me and the boys, to try and find something for their mother. It's a nightmare trying to shop. Need to get her to write down what she wants for Christmas and then tell us which pew it's in or which aisle it's in. I would never find it. But anyway, we went to do that, but we did get something, by the way. But then you take it and you leave it there, and it is for my wife at Christmas. Now she says, "Hold on a minute, boys, I want to give you a few pounds for that." It isn't a gift anymore. You see, a gift is something which is given freely and must be freely received. Dear unsaved person, I say to you again concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've said to you often this year, it is good that you know about him, but it is absolutely imperative that you know him personally. Because where it says in our text there, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," that is all people, all types of people, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Now take the word Saviour and everything that the Bible says about salvation and the Saviour and trace it through your Bible, and you will see that only those are saved who come to Him. Only those are saved who repent of their sin and embrace Him as Saviour and Lord. In other words, if you reject Him, you reject all of your hope. If you reject Him today, it may determine for you that it may be written, could be written over your gravestone, he or she rejected the Lord and are still and will always be in a Christless eternity. I think I told the story one time before, it bears repetition, of a man who had committed an awful crime. I'm not sure what it was now, so long ago that I read it, but he did have remorse. Now, it didn't lessen the crime any, and it didn't lessen the hurt for the families of the people that he killed. But he did have remorse. But through some twist or another, a pardon was offered to that man. And they came down to his cell in America where he was, and they said, the governor, or whoever it was, the president, whoever it was, they said, they've offered you a pardon. He said, I don't want a pardon. He said, I don't deserve a pardon, and I'm not accepting a pardon. And there was a process of trying to figure out where this man would have to receive the pardon or not. But eventually, they came to the conclusion that if he would not accept it, then the sentence that he initially had been given would have to be carried out, and he was put to death. He would not accept the pardon. You may say, well, that's an awful story. It's very sad, and the man was in a position there where he could have been pardoned. That's exactly where the unsaved person is today. The Lord Jesus still cries out to men and women that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The message still is, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. I think there is a danger sometimes when people are brought up in evangelical churches that they will become so used to the gospel that they will become hardened to its message in a way that affects their perception of their own sin. I read a story one time of a man who had been preaching in the open air. He was talking about sin. And during the course of his message, he was preaching to people from all parts of society. And he preached on the text, "Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole?" And after the service, a man who was in rags came up to him and he said to him, you know, you've pointed out my difficulty today when you preached on "Wilt thou be made whole?" He said, "All of my life I have been patching up, but as I put the patches on, the patches just made bigger holes." He said, "I have lived a ruthless life. I've been a hard man. I've lost my wife through my life. My family members long ago lost my job. And then one day, not very long ago, when I was down on Skid Row, I was invited to come to this meeting. And he says, today I stopped my patching, and today he made me whole." You talk to people in Northern Ireland, they're patching. They're patching. And when someone passes away, people always say kind things, and that is right, usually, if the person was a reasonable person. And they say kind things, but when you're in conversation with folk, very often they get round to speaking about where that person has gone to. And you'll know in their conversation with them. They will say, "But he did this, and he did that, and he did something else." You know, if the whole world was full of people like him, it would be a better place. So it probably would be. You're still patching. If he does not have the Lord Jesus Christ, then he never was made whole. Stop patching today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the gracious remedy that has been provided here for men and women. I trust today that you'll come to know Him, that if you do know Him, that you will pray for that closer walk with the Lord, that even as we enter another year soon, that the Lord would continue to bless you and your family, keep your hand upon you, and encourage you as you seek to serve Him. We're going to